Yo, what's up, everyone? This is Buzzer Beaters. I'm Eddie Aparicio, and this is my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral, and we are a podcast brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com, and this is a basketball-specific podcast dedicated primarily to the NBA, but we talk about other NCAA, WNBA. We dibble and dabble in those other ones, but anyway, you can find Buzzer Beaters at GremlingsMedia.com. You can also find us on YouTube, Pandora, X, Facebook, Apple, pretty much any outlet that you can get your podcast. You can find Buzzer Beaters. And this is our 26th show. And we actually would normally be live. But, you know, what happened is the elections happened on Tuesday, right? So because of that, it kind of pushes some of the other shows, you know, to our slot. And so we told, you know, our producer that we'll go ahead and just record it. But our intent is to do this live every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Pacific. And we want to hear from you. We're live because we do this to hear from you. But we're not going to do that this week. We're going to do that next week. All right. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and talk about the West and the East conferences. And primarily what we want to talk about this week are some of the surprises and disappointments that we've observed in the last 2 weeks. The NBA season is pretty much very still in its infancy. We're only like 7 to 8 games in with a lot of games happening right now. Actually, all 30 teams played on Monday. Can you believe that, Tuan? All 30 teams played on Monday because they want to go ahead and encourage people to go ahead and vote on Tuesday. And we all know what happened, right? It was a close race, but in the end, we all know it's not a political show. But we got to state the obvious. Donald Trump now got reelected. Now he's our president again. So we got another 4 years and we're going to see what happens. Right. But this is not political. We just wanted to state something that happened. So that's the reason why we couldn't do it on live today is because, like I said, it got other shows got pushed into our slot. So anyway, so we're going to talk about the East and the West disappointments, surprises. Then we're going to go into Giannis and the Bucks. Oh. I mean, the Bucks are off to a horrible start. I mean, horrible. I mean, who would have thought that they would be like 1-7 or 1-6 they are right now? It's incredible. So we're going to talk a little bit about what we think is probably going to happen with the Bucks, because there's been a lot of rumors about him potentially being traded. And then we're going to go ahead and talk about some of the injuries that have happened already early in the season and how it's affecting the team. And we're going to see, like, is this going to have a long-term effect, short-term effect? Is this going to be a blessing in disguise for some of these teams? And then we're going to go ahead and wrap it up with, you know, a contest that Tuan and I have had since the beginning of the season. We had a rookie draft, so we picked 5 rookies on each team. We were going to keep track of their stats. And then we also had a conference seedings contest, and then we get points and all that. We're going to go ahead and review that. We're going to do that every week, just kind of see where things stand. So, Tuan, let's get into it, man. Let's go into the Western Conference. By the way, man, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, my brother. I'm doing good. Like you said, you know, just watching all of the elections yesterday, watching America, missing my NBA. Normally, yeah. what I like to do, my routine is, you know, every Tuesday and Thursday, TNT has their 2 main games. And typically, I focus on those 2 games. Those are kind of like my highlight games of the week. So this week, we didn't get that. So, you know, gonna focus on a couple of different things. We are recording a little later than usual because Eddie and I got our excitement on. Because we watched the Warriors play the Celtics, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a minute.
Oh, but, for sure.
But a very exciting game. No matter who won, it was a very exciting game. But, you know, for us in particular, us Warriors fans, it was a very exciting game.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, we're going to talk about surprises, and I think the Warriors are a legitimate surprise. So I'm sure we'll get into that. But
I mean, let's go ahead and get into that, man. Because you know, the West is we're going to start with the West, right? Surprises, disappointments, and that was, you know, one of the notes I had first was the Warriors, right? I mean, because you know, everybody didn't have these guys being 7-1 right now. I mean, 7-1 now after they won tonight. They're 7-1. They actually have, you know, I think it's the second best record right now. Actually, I take that back. Oklahoma City has not lost yet, I don't believe. So they haven't lost yet. But the Cleveland Cavaliers are playing right now. And I don't know if they're
They won today. So they're 8-0.
So now they're undefeated still. And then you got Oklahoma City. I think they're about to finish up, but they were ahead too. And then, you know, now you got the Warriors. But what's interesting about the Warriors is that they lead the league in net rating. All right. They lead the league in net rating. And actually offensive efficiency, I think they're like the third best. So, and defensively, I think they're like, I think either two or three, right up there, man. But net, I mean, they're number one. Right. Yeah. So what do you think, man? I mean, you know, we talked about in the last podcast that we thought maybe that this is an audition, you know, playing all 12 players or 13 players deep, that this could be an audition to go ahead and try and get some other difference maker on the team. Yeah. Right. And I think we were kind of deciding whether or not, you know, the team was actually going to, you know, do something with the trade because, you know, we a lot of pundits out there don't think like a 12 or 13 man rotation is going to work. Well, it's working, man, because they have the highest scoring bench in the entire league right now at 60 plus points per game, which is ridiculous, man. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I agree. So, no, I think in terms of the regular season, well, there's a caveat. I got a little asterisk about the statement I'm going to say due to today's game. But I think during the regular season, I've been thinking this over, and I fundamentally don't see a reason why the Warriors can't play a 10 to 13-man rotation throughout the whole season. I just don't see it. Where it becomes tricky is in the postseason.
In the playoffs.
Right. Because in the postseason, the other team isn't really going to have a large rotation. They're going to have maybe 6, 7, 8 guys that they're going to play. And now we're asking our second team, whoever that is, because that seems to be changing daily, our second team against their firsts. And that's where it's going to get a little tricky. But that said, you know, they played a very deep benched, very defensive oriented, very offensive driven Boston Celtics team today. And the bench did very well. Now they didn't have Melton.
Melton, right.
And they didn't have Pajemski today. They were
that's
both
right. He's ill. He fell ill. Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't. Yeah. He actually went ill at the last game, but they didn't have them. And then Boston didn't have Jaylen Brown. And of course, Porzingis has been out for an extended period of time. So it wasn't like they had their full complement of players. But that being said, the Warriors played them tough throughout. Interesting enough to me was Looney played some primetime minutes at the end of the game.
Yeah.
He was kind of their center of choice, even though Jackson Davis is the starter. So I kind of took note of that. You know, when things kind of ran awry in the first couple of minutes of the game, GP2 was the first one to come out and lock things up. Which I kind of took note of as well, because GP2 had been a player that was coming. Like the way that I've been watching Kerr's rotation, it's been the first unit, the second unit, and then some stragglers that come into that second unit kind of as you go. And GP2's been in the stragglers group for the last couple of games. And today he was the first guy off the bench. So I think Kerr is really kind of gauging who they're playing, who the best people are, and then putting them in.
You got to give it to him, man. I mean, because that's a hard job in itself. I mean, bro, you and I have been coaches, man.
Yep.
And it's tough if you have that deep of a bench to go ahead and keep everybody engaged and happy, right? Yep. You know, I think, you know, it keeps everybody on edge because he is playing everybody, right? Some guys are getting more minutes than others. But this is a delicate balance he's got to figure out, right? And he's got to figure out based on matchups against the teams that he's playing. So, you know, he probably has this understanding. You know, he's really good at, you know, player relationships. You know, he's one of these communicators. That's what he's known for. So I'm sure he definitely cares about people's feelings and how they, you know, take things. So I'm sure he tells a lot of these guys in advance, right? Look, this is a matchup right here against Boston, right? They're lengthy. We need some perimeter defenders. You know, probably, you know, Trayce Jackson-Davis, you're probably not going to play that much, right? Because, you know, we need some of this perimeter defending. Not that you're not good at it, but we just need a little more lateral quickness. And we're going to probably have maybe Looney, who's really good at that. You know, these kind of conversations, right, he could be saying, right? And he's probably doing this all the time. And so people know up front, okay, they know what to expect. So they can go ahead and plan at least mentally and emotionally for it, right? So it's a delicate bounce, but he's doing a really good job, man. I'm very impressed.
No, I mean, everyone seems engaged. Their defense is reckless in a good way. You know, they're playing very aggressively, very, you know, and you can tell, like, you know, as soon as someone gets tired or whatever, poof, here comes the next guy. And then here comes the next guy. And they're just kind of, they're coming at you in waves. And at this point, I got to say, I'm a little reluctant to try to mess with this formula. I mean,
I mean, you know, we're going to get into the whole Giannis thing because they're a team that has come up in the rumors. Okay.
Yeah.
We all know Lakeup really likes Giannis. We know Curry and Giannis have a good relationship. we'll dovetail into that when the time comes. But that's a sneak peek of what we're going to talk about in the next segment, right?
Yeah. So in terms of surprising teams, we know, you know, we have them on previous shows. I think I ranked the Warriors somewhere in the 10th, 9th.
I think you had them at 9th. I'm at 7.
Yeah, and right now we were both way off.
I know.
Right now, so I got to say, to me, they're the biggest surprise in the West.
Yeah, I had them 7th, and you have them 8th, actually. You have them 8th, I have them 7th. So that's, I mean, you know, right now we're off, right? But we shall see what happens, you know, at the end of the season. But, hey, this team is legit, man. Remember I told you, man, in the preseason, you know, I'm like, hey, this team looks defensively connected, man. They look pretty damn good, right? I don't want to get on my homer horse too much, but I did call this early before the season started that this team looked kind of different, man.
No, you did.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting, man. So, all right, man. We talked about the Warriors. Let's go ahead. Let me bring up another team. What do you think about the Suns, man? What do you think about the Suns?
So, they're playing better than I was giving them credit for.
For sure.
Last week, I think they're doing good. I'm just concerned about their bench.
Yeah, but they have like a Royce O'Neal that, you know, can play meaningful minutes. They have the two rookies they drafted, the Ryan Dunn, who's been getting a lot of minutes, right? He's like a 3-and-D type guy, similar to a Mikal Bridges type, right? Then they have this Iguodaro. He's been getting some minutes. He's more of a power forward type. Mason Plumlee. What's interesting is that Jusuf Nurkić is the starter, but, you know, sometimes – you know, Mason Plumlee's closing, right, instead of Nurkić. Nurkić is only getting like 18, 20 minutes a night, right? And that's a far cry from what he used to do at 30 to 35 minutes a night, right? So it's interesting. But I think, like I said before, you know, last season or even before when we were talking about the Phoenix Suns in the team previews, that they only played, I don't know, 25. I read a number, it was 25. I reread it. I think it's 41 they actually played last year together. I mean, that's not enough, right? And if these three guys, and it sounds like Bradley Beal seems to be healthy right now, I kind of predict he might come off the bench. It's not happening. He's starting, and you're right, because, you know, we don't want to create drama for the guy, right? Because he's probably not going to take that, right? But this big three, they seem to be working out pretty good, man. You're right. Their bench is limited, but it seems to be working out so far.
No, it does. I'm just – how would I put this? I think as the season progresses, you know, two of the big three are on the older side.
Right.
Significantly older side. And I just think they're going to feel that. And, you know, like, and that's why, you know, just not taking it back to the Warriors, but that's why I'm so excited about the Warriors, because they have so much youth after Steph and Draymond, because obviously someone can sit here and go, well, Steph and Draymond are old. Agreed.
Yeah.
But you know, Steph was out two or three games. They didn't miss a beat.
Right, you know? Right. It's because they're deep.
You know, and Durant, I mean, to me, Durant carries that team. Like Durant's, I mean, Booker as well. But, you know, so to me, once those guys get kind of worn out, the one thing I don't know about, the one thing that I'm going to research for next game is what they're averaging in minutes. You know, what Durant's playing in minutes, what Beal's playing in minutes.
They're in the 30 range. I just don't know exactly how much. I'm going to have to look that up.
So I think that's going to wear on them as the season goes. And that's where I think the bench is going to come in.
Right. Okay. So right now,
they're off to a good start, though. If we're talking about today, they're playing really well today. They're doing everything that, you know, good today. But again, I'm still, that one's I'm a little more reluctant on.
Okay. So the Warriors, is it sustainable or is it fool's gold?
I think it's sustainable. And let me explain why.
Okay.
It's sustainable because they have so many. You know, they have so many players that for all of them to be off at the same time.
Yeah.
You know,
the probability is low.
I don't see that likely. The probability is low. So the only thing that would obviously impact them is if they have a series of injuries where you got three or four guys out.
Yeah.
You know, then maybe that would start to impact, because then you're starting to put pressure on some of those players.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Because then some of these guys, when their minutes increase, may not be as effective as when they have bursty minutes, right?
So, yeah, and when I watch them defensively, Eddie, the thing that, you know, a defensive stud. But the thing that I watch is in previous years, Draymond was leading that defense. Like, he was running everything. And, like, yeah. I see the defense now, and Draymond's just a piece in the puzzle. You know, he's yeah. not – I don't see him yelling. Yeah. Like, everyone's just going, you know?
You know, it's interesting tough. Because I see a lot of Draymond's influence on the team and how they're playing, you know, team defense. You know, they yeah. seem to be really doing well on that front. I mean, like, unbelievable. The commentators were commenting about that tonight. I watched, yeah. you know, the first half, I watched the Homer broadcast team. And then the second half, yeah. I watched the ESPN broadcast team. Because I like to hear the objective perspective, right? You know, Bob Fitzgerald, after a while, can get kind of old.
You know what Fitzgerald's going to do.
You know he's going to do. He's playing Homers. He's worse Homer
he's
than
Homer
us,
Homer galore.
But, yeah. but you know, the you know, Jay Billis and Doris Burke. You know, they're very objective, and I like their knowledge, right? So, yeah. and they were calling it out. They're like, this defense is incredible. Their yes. team defense is playing incredible. And yes. what, in my opinion, what won them the game tonight was not only their defense, but their lack of turnovers, man.
Yep.
They didn't turn the ball over with, yeah. with the crap.
But you,
great,
you, and, you,
right?
you and I know that's a passing fad because next game they'll have like.
Yeah, I know. But all right, so. Okay, you say it's sustainable. You say it's sustainable for the Warriors.
I say it's sustainable. I think in terms of – I don't think Phoenix is a surprise. I wouldn't mark them as a surprise.
Okay.
What I would say is if they're able to sustain this effort, that's going to yeah. be a surprise to me.
Okay.
I don't want to say they'll be a disappointment, but I'm thinking they're going to be middle of the pack.
Okay. All right. You know? So let me throw out another team for you, man.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Lakers. All right? The Lakers. All right. Yes. They were surprising in the very beginning. I mean, they started off hot, right? And then, you know, JJ, I mean, the offense was running through Anthony Davis.
Yep.
You didn't see LeBron kind of force things as much. You're seeing LeBron force things a little bit more lately. He's been kind of taking over a little bit more lately. But, you know, in the end, you know, right now they're 4-3. They were losing tonight pretty badly to Memphis on the road. And I think they probably lost because they were down by like 20 plus at one point. And so, okay, so. You know, are they running into a rough patch or is this who they are? You know, is this, you know, because you have them, you know, I think you have them predicted.
Like
yeah. You had them at, you had them at 11 and I had them I had them at 11 too. We both had them at 11.
Yeah. So we had them out of the playoffs. And,
yeah.
And that's the thing.
Playing.
No, 8. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 11 is the last
11,
one.
11 and 11.
No. No, it's 7, 8, 9, and 10, Eddie. 11th is out of the playoffs.
No, I know. I'm saying that we're playing. They're a playing
no,
team.
The play-in
oh, yeah, they're a playoff. Yeah, you're a play. Yeah. They're out.
They're out,
right?
11th
not
even
is
in
out.
The play-in.
Yeah, that's right. Up to 10. 10 is the cutoff.
Yep.
Yeah, 10, so we have them
the
out of the play-in.
But, you know, with them, they go like Anthony Davis goes. Mm-hmm. And Anthony Davis has historically been flaky in terms of, like, I don't want to call him flaky, but he's really good some days, really off other days. He usually has an injury that shows itself here and there. And so, to me, that's what I expect. That they go how Anthony Davis is going to go. And, you know, LeBron will try to pick up the slack. But, you know, I think they had a hot start. And I think where they're at is kind of where they're going to stay.
You think this is the way they are?
I think
more of a 500-ish team. That's going to be scratching and clawing to get into the play-in. Okay.
Yes, I think
that they're better than we kind of gave. I think they're better than we gave them credit to be in the beginning. But the only reason why we ranked them so low is because the West is so deep, man. It is ridiculous deep. And then you know you see the emergence of Memphis. Memphis, you called that they were going to be a better team, and they are. They're not necessarily like in the top five that we you know. I think you kind of anticipated them to be. Let me say you had them at. You had them at 10, so you had them at 10, and I had them at 12. So, yeah, that's kind of like what I thought. I still think that it's going to be that way, but they are playing better for sure. But, you know, Zach Edey seems to be a player, man. I mean, right now, I would say he's probably the early rookie of the year guy right now because he's had two really good games. And I think, you know, last night, I think the last game, he had like, I don't know, 25 and 12 or something like that. As far as points and rebounds, it was pretty good. And then I think he kind of fell back down to earth. But you know, the guy who does the NBA rookie ladder, you know, they were kind of like, I was like, they were saying there's comparisons to a Yao Ming. I don't know, man.
I don't know about that.
But you know, I don't know. But Memphis is better. Okay, so let me ask. Okay, We've talked about the Warriors. We talked about the Phoenix Suns. We talked about the Lakers. Anybody else is a surprise to you that stand out? Anybody else? Or
do you mean solely surprises in the good or surprises in the bad?
Both.
Well, I think for me, the Denver Nuggets are surprising me a little in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
They seem old all of a sudden, and they're not that old.
They're not. But it is. Yeah. You know what it is? It's their bench, man.
Yeah.
The bench is really shallow. You know, they have a bunch of unproven guys that are being asked to step up. And, you know, that's where they're lacking, man. They don't, you know, I think they have Peyton Watson, who now has to start, I think, because Aaron Gordon was hurt or somebody was hurt tonight, so he couldn't play. You know, Jamal Murray has been out, so that means Russell Westbrook has to play. So yep. I think that's a little blessing in disguise because of these injuries, because it kind of gives the bench guys an opportunity to get some run, right? Especially yep. with someone like as talented as Nikola Jokic. I think, let me see, they had another guy who they drafted. I forgot who they had, but anyway, their bench is pretty shallow. They just don't have enough difference makers, I think, to kind of relieve the starters and make them still effective.
And their quote unquote, big free agent was Dario Saric, and he's playing less and less minutes. They're playing DeAndre Jordan more. That's just not going to work out, man.
They have to make some kind of a move to get like a more effective bench, player, because they're only really maybe six deep really on that team. Strother is the other guy I was thinking about.
Well, ironically enough, I don't know who they have to give up, but that is a team to me that could. I mean, a lot of teams would benefit, but like seeing what they can package together for someone like Giannis. That's a team that would really. Yeah,
I don't think they're going to be able to. I don't think they have enough to do it.
I don't think so either. I mean, it's going to take a boatload of number one.
It would take a Jokic.
Well, you'd have Milwaukee to would be like, we want Jokic. You're going to keep more Murray and Jokic, but you can package Gordon. You can package Powell.
Porter.
You can package Porter. Yeah. I meant Porter. Yeah, Porter. Michael Porter. Three or four number
Christian
ones.
Brown.
Maybe that gets Christian you to be honest. Brown. Yeah, I don't know, but I'm saying that's a team that I guess I could see. And I don't know if Giannis has like a no trade clause or if he gets to pick where he wants to go, that type of deal. But I could see that being a team that could really use Giannis as a shot in the arm there.
Yeah, no, I hear you. All right, man. So, all right, we talked about Denver. Okay, let me throw out another team for you, man, the Spurs. All right. What do you think of the Spurs thus far with Chris Paul, Harrison Barnes being infused with this young squad?
I like them.
Yeah, they're 3-4 right now, but they were getting their butts kicked by the Rockets tonight. All right, they played on the road. The Rockets, we found out that they're pretty tough. I mean, the Warriors were up by 31 and they almost lost.
Yes,
the Rockets. All right, so the Rockets are a talented defensive minded team, which was surprising that when we did the team previews that we kind of did the analysis that holy crap, these guys are more a defensive team than an offensive team. And when it kind of looks, the perception is they're more offensive, because of, Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, these guys are offensive oriented, right?
Yep. And they came back and Jalen Green had a horrible game.
I know.
And if he's on, dude, I don't know if we win.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think a lot of it has to do with the Warriors D, man.
Yeah. No, you're right. But I mean, holy crap.
That was the game plan.
He was missing layups. He was missing reverses. He was just off too.
Yeah.
But Houston's really tough. But again, I thought Houston would be tough. I thought they would be, there. And getting back to San Antonio, I think San Antonio's going to get a team that towards the middle and end of the season, no one's going to want to play. They're going to start getting better.
Yeah, I agree.
Chris Paul's going to put his influence, his stamp on that team. They're going to be a little bit more experienced and organized. But the one thing that they have to do, dude, like Wemby, I watch them and I'll see, two or three or four offensive runs where Wemby doesn't even touch the ball. And that dude needs to at least touch the ball every time they go down.
At least touch it, right?
At least touch it. It has to go through him.
Yeah.
The offense has to go through him somehow at some point. So they need to do that.
Yeah. And dude, did you see his other the other night, man? I mean, the last game, not tonight, but last game, dude. I had him in my FanDuel lineup, right? And I was only 12 points away from running 10 grand, dude. Right? Oh. Yeah. I had Wembanyama in my lineup, and that dude had
the 5-5-5.
78 fantasy points, right? He had like 9 blocks, 3 steals. That right there is, you know, that's 9 plus 3, that's 12 times 3, that's 36 fantasy points.
Right, he had a 5-5-5 game where he had at least 5 in each stat.
Yeah. And I think it's only happened like 2 or 3 times, yeah. I think, in the NBA history that's happened.
Yeah.
It's crazy. No,
that dude's a monster, bro.
Yeah. And you know, Draymond Green's one of the guys who did that, by the way.
The 5-5?
Yeah, because he did a triple double with points not being one of the freaking doubles.
Yep. Well, so his hardest five is the points.
Exactly. It always will be, man, because that funky shot he has. He's just not an offensive guy, man. Yeah, but yeah. All right. So, I also think the Spurs are going to be a problem later in the season. I think they're going to be a team that if you're just not sharp, they're going to take you out, man. Yes. Right. They're just that type of team. All right, correct. So let's before we go on to the East, let me ask you about another team. What about, there's two other teams I want to ask you about. Minnesota Timberwolves, disappointment so far, would you say?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
I would
say, what do you think is wrong with these guys, man?
I think that they're learning how to work in their new players.
Yeah, I mean, there's an adjustment period for sure.
I'm not worried about them yet, but if they're not flowing, you know, in about a month or so, then I would say maybe there's something wrong. Like in terms of just offensive differences, you know, just the styles don't mesh. Right now, you know, I think it's just, you know, I'm curious because, you know, Julius Randle is personality-wise, he's significantly different than Towns.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if, you know, when Towns was there, the leader was Edwards, like hands down.
Yeah.
He's the locker room guy, and I'm wondering.
He's the alpha. He's the alpha.
Yeah, and I wonder if Randall's kind of maybe inadvertently challenging that.
Trying to be the alpha? Like he's trying.
I don't think he's trying to be, but I think that's just his personality. Maybe. And I think that maybe there's just a chemistry they need to get used to.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, yeah, because you might be right because, you know, Randall is kind of a stronger personality type versus Towns.
Yeah.
Towns is kind of easygoing, kind of, you know, a friendly guy, kind of amiable. Yep. Yeah, so, you know, it's a Latino in him, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. So, but you know, it's a good point, man. You know, they're disappointing to me, too. One of the reasons why they're disappointing is because, you know, they have been struggling. They're definitely trying to integrate, Julius Randle. DiVincenzo fits in, right? He's a freaking glue guy.
Yep.
But the Julius Randle changed the offense.
The offense is very different. It's very different.
But the other thing that we pointed out in the previous podcast is Mike Conley, man. I mean, Mike Conley, dude, he got old way overnight, dude. It's like, so if you see them struggling a little bit, why not just go ahead and give this Rob Dillingham a chance, dude? Give him a chance.
Come out there and
see what he could do, right? You got this Terrence Shannon kid who's supposed to be a beast in college. Give him a shot too, man. Yeah. I think
they're trying to make it work, you know. You're right. No, I mean they have some options, right? Yeah. But I think the biggest, like I said, the biggest difference is Julius Randle, just him in the locker room. You know, I think there's some getting used to, but I think they'll be okay. My gut is they'll be all right. The one right. that I'm thinking might not be okay is the New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, well, they're missing DeJounte Murray. You know, we all know about Zion Williamson. I know he's questionable. I don't know if he played tonight, but I know they were missing somebody else. CJ McCollum. CJ McCollum is out with a hamstring issue.
Yep.
Deontay Murray, I think, broke his hand, and I think he's due to come back in mid-December timeframe from what I recall.
But what I'm saying is he comes back, you still have a period of them getting used to each other. They're, you know, it may, that window may not get there this season.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you had them, you know, Pelicans. You had them at number 7, man.
Yeah,
I have them up there. Yeah, I have them at number 6. So we're both hurting right now.
Higher than me.
You know, we. All right, man. So the last team I want to talk about before we go into the East are the Clippers. All right, the Clippers.
Yes.
You know, you had them. You know, at the you had them at 12. I had him at 9. Okay, right now your prediction looks closer to mine, but they're the only team that beat the Warriors. Okay, team that beat the Warriors so far, and they have talent, man. I mean, Norman Powell has now been inserted into the starting lineup. He's scoring like 25 points a game now. You got, you know, James Harden, who's still a lethal scorer, and he's a facilitator. You know, Ivica Zubac, he's been playing very well because he's getting the ball more, right? But you know, they have other guys, like Terrence Mann, who's more of a defensive minded guy. You know, I just think that they'd definitely be a problem from a defensive standpoint. It's just the offensive side that if James Harden is going to struggle, they're going to struggle because Norman Powell can't do it all by himself, right? They need Kawhi Leonard in there, man. And Kawhi Leonard is out. You know, we don't know when he's going to come back. I know he's got knee issues, and you know, he's out indefinitely right now because they don't want to push it too much. But man, you called it. You called it when, you know, why you put him at, you know, the 12th spot is because of Kawhi Leonard. You know, he's always hurt.
And so, Harden's another one, right? He's an older player. You know, how long can he keep this up? Yeah. You know, and right now he's the backbone of the team. Like you said, Powell's stepping up. Powell, you know, might actually be a dark horse here for most improved player of the year. But
it's a good call. Yeah.
But, you know, without Harden, they're just offensively, they're going to be very one-dimensional.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. I hear it. All right, man. So we covered the West. Let's go ahead and dovetail into the East, man.
The East.
So what do you think? Okay, so let me ask you this. Biggest surprises. We already know probably one you're going to pick out right now is the undefeated team, right?
Correct.
The Cleveland Cavaliers.
Well, actually, though, no, Eddie. The biggest surprise to me is how horrible Milwaukee is.
Oh, they're the biggest disappointment, man. I actually kind of wanted
to talk actually a bigger surprise to me than how good Cleveland is playing.
Yeah, you know, and I kind of, you know, maybe I probably should have steered the conversation because I definitely wanted to have that be the end before we get into the segment.
Yeah, no, and that's fine.
But that's okay. No, we can talk about it, and then we'll go ahead and segue into the Giannis conversation. But yeah, they are hurting, man, and there is a big reason why they are hurting is because they're so reliant on Giannis to be a superstar every freaking night, man. If he has an off night, they're screwed. If he gets in foul trouble, they're screwed. They don't have a secondary scorer on that team that is, you know, that is capable of scoring on a regular basis. It's really just Giannis and then Chris Middleton, who's hurt right now, right? You have a bunch of other role players on that team that they're not scorers, right? They have Pat Connaughton, who can get streaky at times at shooting. They have Brooke Lopez, who is, you know, at the twilight of his career, but he's a good shooting big. And he is a defensive minded guy, but he's slow, man. He's a big dude, man. Right. And they're just going to get run out of the gym by some of these younger guys, younger teams, man. So they just look slow, man. And I don't know, you know, Doc Rivers, man. Right. Since he has taken over, you know, the team, where's the stat that I had here? They are 18-24 since Rivers took over the team, man.
Yep.
18 and 24.
And if I'm not mistaken, they were they had a pretty good record for the previous coach. What's his name?
Adrian Griffin.
Adrian Griffin. He was doing okay.
Yeah.
And then the reason why
they fired him is because his defense, the defensive rating, they were like 18th, 19th in the league when they fired him, right? Yeah. Because that was what Budenholzer had as you know, that was his staple, his defense, and then it started slipping, but they were still playing decent, man. They were still up there, right? Yeah. It's just, I don't know, man. I was
listening to a little bit of a talk radio this morning, and they were talking about the culpability Giannis has for the coaching changes, for Holiday being no longer on the team. What are your
thoughts?
Yeah, they were actually kind of hammering him like, you don't get to go anywhere, dude. You set this house on fire is basically what they said.
Oh, wow.
And you don't get to leave now. Because these changes are things that they had to have passed by you. Now, I don't know Milwaukee as an organization good enough to – I mean, I would assume they ran these things by Giannis. But, you know, if it's true, I mean, they definitely – I mean, Budenholzer's a great coach, you know. And one thing that I didn't know is when they fired him, I guess he had just lost his brother. He had some serious kind of things going on in his life. And you know, maybe he needed some time away. And so, you know, they're not – but to me, I mean, they've just been going in the wrong direction in terms of player acquisition, in terms of coaching. Now, if Giannis has something to do with that, you know, if he's playing, you know, baby Bron GM – type of deal, then I agree. Like you're doing suck it up.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I've heard also that he kind of forced the Bucks' hand to keep his brother on the team, Thanasis. The other Antetokounmpo that's on the team, who very rarely plays, right?
Yeah.
But, I've heard that. So there could be some truth to that, right? But he doesn't seem to be the type of guy that would be leveraging an organization. He seems to be kind of, it's the way his personality. He comes across very happy-go-lucky, easygoing type of guy. Who knows? Maybe that's his front. I don't know. But,
Yeah, maybe. But it's also, I'm sure that if they said, hey, we're letting go of Budenholzer, for example.
Yeah.
He said, no, I'll be very unhappy if you let him go. He won us a championship.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't let him go. Like, he'd still be there.
He wasn't maybe that adamant. And it might be because he's just that personality type. Like, I don't know. Maybe he's just not that.
No, and I don't want to, I don't want to screw him. Like, if you didn't say anything, it's your fault. Maybe you're right. Maybe he just let the organization do whatever it was that they were going to do. But, if he went in there and said, I don't like so-and-so or whatever, then, he has some culpability in it.
Right. Well, let's hold that thought, all right, because we want to get that for the next segment, man. Definitely I agree with you that the Bucks are definitely a huge disappointment. And something's going to happen, man.
Yes.
Something drastic.
They're probably the biggest disappointment in the whole league.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, man.
Well,
without a doubt.
Right now, they haven't played together, but the Sixers aren't too far behind, Eddie.
I know. Well, yeah, but the thing is that Paul George just got integrated. He had his first game, I think, on Monday. And I think he's playing his second game. I think they're playing tonight too.
Yeah, but Embiid was potentially getting investigated. Now he got fined and suspended 3 games for shoving
a reporter.
A reporter.
Yeah.
He's questioning the media about why they're questioning him after all he's given. Like, dude, that type of thing impacts a whole season.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely had the dark cloud for sure. Just we all know like what can happen with one altercation happening on a team with Draymond Green and Jordan Poole, how that completely just derailed all of last season, right, for the Warriors.
Yeah.
And and because it happened the year before that, right? But still, then he had his emotional outbursts that got him suspended 22 games, and that completely derailed the season last year. Correct. He seems to be a different guy now, man. Hopefully but yeah, you're right. Something like this that, Joel Embiid can create, a situation that could cloud a dark cloud on the organization and can have an impact on the rest of the season. But yeah, I agree with you. And the thing is, he's due to plead. I think he's going to come out with this. He's getting fined for 3 games, right, without pay. So I think he's missing, tonight. I think he's missing Friday, and I think he's missing Sunday. And I think his first game that he's due back is on Tuesday of next week. So that'll be his first game. But, anytime you have new players come into the system, there's an adjustment period, man, right?
Yeah. No, agreed.
The Minnesota Timberwolves are experiencing that right now. They're 7 games into the season, and they're still adjusting. The same thing's going to happen with Joel Embiid coming back with Paul George. There's going to be an adjustment period. So they're not going to win right away. There's going to be a feeling out period. So,
correct.
Yeah. But, yeah, they're another disappointment. The picture, the six, we both picked them as a top 3 seed, and they're 1-6. But it's understandable, right? We all know why. But, I think once Paul George gets integrated, they're going to be better. But, it derailed their first 7. I mean, 7, that's what, 5 games under 500? This, it's a competitive Eastern Conference too, and it's going to matter. I think these games that they lost are going to matter, right?
They are, and Paul George can't be giving up seasons at his age right now. You got to take advantage of him as soon as possible.
And then, and then Joel Embiid, supposedly, that they have him not playing on back-to-backs. He's not going to be playing back-to-backs anymore, right? Because they want to conserve him for the postseason. Well, I've got news for you. They may not make the postseason, so you got to do something different, right?
Correct. And as you're trying to familiarize yourself with another teammate, not missing games isn't the formula to kind of move ahead with that.
Right. Right.
So now he's opting out of games that he could be playing with Paul George and getting acclimated, and they're not. And, in the NBA, they hardly practice during the regular season. They're game after game after game. So, like I said, they're on the precipice of blowing their season here early on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So let me give you another team that's been disappointing for me in the East, man. The Indiana Pacers, right? This team, they're snake bitten right now, man. They have a very deep team, But, you know, it started with James Wiseman blowing his Achilles. And then it started, and then another center on the team got blown their Achilles too, Isaiah Jackson. Yep. You know, you got to wonder what the hell happened with those guys. You know, what's the training staff doing to get those guys get busted Achilles tendons within, you know, 2 weeks of each other? And then you got, you know, Aaron Nesmith who got hurt, you know, and then Tyrese Halliburton has been struggling mightily, dude. I mean, he's not the same player right now, at least from a shooting prowess standpoint. You know, he's struggling, man. And it might have been that comment that you made about, you know, Stephen Curry giving him the tip about taking a nap. That seems to be just clouded his whole freaking season, man. Well, you know, he's in sleepy state right now.
You know, we've had a lot of experience with this, but this is what I've noted for insanely offensive heavy teams. Like, it's hard to replicate season after season of very offensive teams. Right. And, you know, right now, yeah, they're going through some, but I again, not worried yet. They are snake bitten. I think they'll come around. I mean, obviously the guys that are out with Achilles aren't coming back, but I think Halliburton will come around. You know, Turner's a beast, you know, and I can't believe at some point he was available, you know, like someone could have picked him up, which, you know, someone should have, but,
right.
But no, I agree with you. But all that being said, everything that's going on, they're still third in the conference.
Yeah, but you know their record. I think they were under 500.
Well, they're 4-4 now.
Four and four now because they just won tonight, right? They beat Orlando. I think And Orlando, of course, they got snake bitten because of Paolo Banchero getting an oblique tore his oblique. So
that's 70% of the team right there, man.
Yeah, I mean that's a huge percentage of their team. So so that they're snake bitten right now. They're off to a slow start because of that. He's not going to come back until probably mid-December as well, along with DeJounte Murray, right? It might be even longer than that. I think he's going to be reevaluated in 7 to 8 weeks. You know, so that's going to have an impact on the Magic, and the Magic were a team that we called, you know, being the Oklahoma City Thunder of the East, correct? Right? Because they're a young, up-and-coming team, and this is unfortunately, this is going to have an impact on them. So, all right, so any other disappointments or surprises on the East?
In terms of disappointment, no. And you know, we talked about Cleveland. I can't say I'm surprised. I mean,
right.
Obviously, I didn't expect them to be undefeated at this point. But, you know, they're one of the better teams. You know, they had a lot of injuries when they played Boston in the playoffs. And I believe they either got swept or a gentleman sweep, if I remember correctly. But, you know, Jared Allen was out. Spider Mitchell was, you know, kind of in and out.
Right.
You know, I guess the thing that I'm really giving them kudos for is having the backcourt play as well as they can together. Because you and I we mentioned this in previous weeks. You know, we had a lot of questions about that backcourt.
For sure. And the team had questions about the backcourt.
Yep.
There's a lot of rumors about one of those guys being dealt.
That's Kenny Atkinson over there, right? That's
Kenny Atkinson, Brooklyn coach, old Warriors coach. Yeah, he's got
I would say that the surprise for me is how well the coaching is going in terms of, you know, the way they're running their offense, the way they're running their defense, the way the team's, you know, kind of seems to have kind of in full stride. But again, Eddie, this is one of those teams, right? Where you know, the Warriors are the outlier, but Boston doing well, hardly had any changes in the offseason. Cleveland doing well, hardly had any changes in the offseason. Thunder doing well. Hardly had any. I mean, they had a couple of changes, but nothing to their core, right? I mean,
They got better. They got better. They lost a few players, but they got better. Correct. Right? They got Alex Caruso, and then they drafted a few other players. AJ Mitchell, Dylan Brooks. They got this other point guard who hasn't even played yet. The guy from, anyway. So
Hartenstein or whatever. Yeah. But
Hartenstein's known. He's hurt, right? Yeah, he's coming back.
But their core starting five are the players that were there last year.
Right.
You know, so they were also.
Yeah,
correct.
Except for Giddey.
Well, who replaced Giddey?
It wasn't Caruso.
No, not on the starting. Caruso wasn't starting, is he?
No, he's coming off the bench. So I think
that's what I'm saying. The starting five
might be Cason Wallace. I think Cason Wallace might be starting now, or Aaron Wiggins. One of those two are starting, and they're both.
Yeah, but both were with the team last year.
Yeah, they were both on the team last year. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So their starting five is something they're familiar with. I guess the point. You know, the Warriors are the ones that are kind of the outlier on that because they got all kinds of new guys and they didn't miss a beat. But most of these teams, you know, so I'm not surprised by Cleveland. I give the coaching kudos, but you know, with Cleveland, it's always like they're cursed towards the postseason, right? Can they get? Well, they're cursed when LeBron isn't on the team. Let's put it that way. right. Historically. Right. So we'll see how they do. But no, I'd say I'm surprised, but not like, whoa. Like,
yeah, you know, no, I hear you, man.
I expected them to be good.
No, I expected them to be good, but not top of the conference good. Yeah. I think we had them, both of us had them in the top four. So yeah. It's not surprising that they're in the top four. I'm just surprised that they're the number one team in the East.
I'm sure both of us had Philly ahead of them, which, again, has been a disappointment.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right, man. So let's go ahead and dovetail into what we were intending to do when we were talking about the Bucks. But we're going to talk about Giannis, all right? Yeah. Now, we know the Bucks are struggling. And something's going to happen, man. Something is going to happen. That team was built to win now, all right? And they did this because of, you know, Giannis. They have this transcendent player. I mean, he's definitely, you know, we talked about this in a past podcast that, you know, if Steph Curry were to retire and LeBron were to retire tomorrow, he is the face of the NBA. And, you know, he's one of these players that, you know, a lot of GMs covet because of what he does on the basketball court from an offensive and defensive standpoint. He is elite on both ends. He doesn't have a great outside shot, but he doesn't need to because he can just bully you over. He runs at 100 miles an hour. It's these long strides. I think he can cover the whole court in five freaking strides, dude. It's crazy how freaking long that guy is, right?
He is, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is that they're 1-6, I think it is right now, and or 1-7, one of the two. But they are struggling, and something's going to happen, man. And you know, we kind of gave him a sneak peek of that. You know, there is a lot of trade rumors going on about him. That you know, there's a lot of GMs calling right now, and
yeah,
right,
there are.
Circling. There's like vultures circling right now, right? You know, right now with the Milwaukee Bucks, and you know, we know that some of the teams there was an article that just came out about it. I forgot who wrote it, but. And I want to give credit, but I just don't remember who it is. But they were talking about some of these. There's four teams that have emerged that could essentially persuade Giannis to potentially join their teams. All right. So the first team that was mentioned, and I think this is because Giannis actually had wanted to go to a big media market. And, you know, we all know the biggest media market in the world right now is New York. Right. So the Knicks was one of them that he had indicated that he had interest in potentially joining if he were to go ahead and get traded. The Knicks would be one. The Brooklyn Nets would be another one. The Miami Heat, probably because, you know, we know Pat Riley's, you know, he's got, you know, a good history of success. So does Spoelstra. You know, they've had championships there. They have good players there. They're right on the brink. So he wants to go to a team that he can go ahead and win again, right? So the Heat are also being mentioned, but then our Golden State Warriors are also being mentioned. And we talked about this, you know, in the previous segment that, you know, Joe Lacob has always loved this guy. And we know Steph Curry. And realistically, out of all these teams, what do you say, man? Well, out of all these teams, how would you rank them in the order of being able to get a Giannis? If there was going to be a deal, right? You got the Heat, the Nets, the Knicks, and the Warriors.
So the Heat, the Nets, the Knicks, and
the
Warriors.
And the Warriors.
So the first thing that I'd have to evaluate is lottery picks. Like how the picks, right? Pat Riley is pretty stingy with his picks.
Yeah.
Right? So when I look at the Miami Heat, I'm thinking, all right, what talent can they give up for Giannis?
They have a lot. I mean, they have a Bam Adebayo, who I know a lot of people would love to have on their team. He was also a Team USA guy. So
how's their rookie doing? Do you know?
Khalil Ware. He doesn't even play.
Yeah.
He hasn't even played right now. So, you know, they have Khalil Ware. They have Jaime Jaquez, right? The UCLA kid.
Yeah.
The only, I think, Mexican player in the NBA. You have Pell Larson out of Arizona.
Yep.
You know, he's another guy who's young, and he's actually cracked the rotation, man. They have Tyler Hero. They have who is their Terry Rozier. You know, so they have guys that they could easily throw at the Bucks, right?
Yeah.
But the Bucks want to go young. They
correct.
They want to rebuild, right? And they don't have these guys. Khalil Ware is an asset, I think. But
that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking something like maybe two first rounders.
They're for sure gonna ask for first round picks.
Yes, two first rounders, Khalil Ware.
If they didn't,
Jimmy Butler and maybe Hero.
But see, Jimmy Butler's at the twilight of his career. I don't think.
But that's my point. The reason they pick up Jimmy Butler is to make it match, and then they let Jimmy Butler walk.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, like, that's the only way.
That's what I'm thinking there.
Or they have to involve them in the team to make all this stuff work. Because Giannis makes $48 million a year, man.
Yep.
So they have to make the if they're going to trade, they have to make that the number. It's almost $49 million. It's $48.8 million a year. Okay. Correct. That's like, whoa, right?
Yep. So when I look at Miami, I think that. When I look at the Knicks are intriguing, but
they have no draft picks, man. They got rid of all their draft picks.
Correct.
They have none. They got rid of them for Mikal Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns. They have all the draft picks for all those guys.
But I believe that they can't even trade those guys. There's a window when you pick up a free agent before you can trade them.
Yeah. And I don't know what that period is, but yeah.
I have to look that up. But I believe that right now those guys wouldn't be eligible. So I can't see the Knicks realistically having much to offer.
They can't. And then because the Bucks want youth or picks. You know, both picks and youth or a lot of boatload of picks.
Okay. Right? So that leaves us with
Brooklyn. Contract.
So that leaves us with Brooklyn and the Warriors.
Correct.
Okay. With Brooklyn, I mean, they didn't have a lot of youth. Yeah, but they didn't have a draft pick. They gave up a lot of their draft pick to get Durant, to get Harden, to get Kyrie,
and Durant. Yes. Yep.
So I don't even know what their future looks like. And in terms of players on their squad, who would they want?
The guys that I think, okay, you got a Dennis Schroeder who's decent, but he's older.
He's older.
You have Nick Claxton.
He would be of interest.
You have Cam Thomas. Who's their scoring guy? You have Dorian Finney-Smith, who's a defensive guy. I'm just trying to remember some of these other players. Those are the guys that really stand out, just because I know some of these players from FanDuel, right? Or just playing the daily fantasy. So those are the guys that are typically, you know, guys that you pick for your teams, you know, for you know, when you have a certain budget. So, but those guys don't really make you know the Bucks GM go, maybe. No. Exactly. There's nothing there, right? So
it takes us to the Warriors.
Which
I think they have the assets.
They do have the assets.
I could see something like Pajemski, Kuminga, and maybe Andrew Wiggins, who's still under 30.
Correct.
And two first-round picks for Giannis. I can see someone going, yeah, all right, I can deal with that. You know, maybe a Trace Jackson Davis in there.
I think, yes. Yeah, you know, Trace Jackson Davis, Moses Moody.
Correct.
Throw in, you know, a defensive-minded Gary Payton, you know, whatever, right? I mean,
yeah,
they have a lot of ways to go. You got Kyle Anderson. You got Lindy Water. I mean, all these guys that, you know,
the funny thing is, I don't know if I want to do that.
See, that's the thing, is if the Warriors – by the time the trade deadline comes, you know, in February, I think it is when it is. But anyway, if they are playing like they are right now, they ain't doing anything, man. But if they are like hovering right around 500, kind of being on the cusp of being a playing team, and someone like a Giannis can bring them over the top, then they would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't, that's the only scenario I see it happening.
You would have over $100 million per season. On
two players.
Yep, just on those two guys.
Those two guys would be $113 million.
Yep,
just those two guys.
Talk about handcuffing yourself, dude.
$113 million plus Draymond's 25, right? So that's $138 million in those three players.
Correct. Once Curry retires, you still have Giannis. But Giannis is showing how much he can carry a team of mediocre players.
Right. He doesn't have, you need shooting in today's NBA, man.
Correct.
And he's not
someone I'd want to be stuck with after everybody clears out.
Unless they draft really good shooting players or make trades for, like, you know, prospects that can shoot. Right. Yeah. So that's the only way they can make this thing work, man. But so I'm with you, man. I don't want to do it, especially if the Warriors were like 1-6 right now, I'd be fucked. Excuse me. Yes, I mean, hell yeah.
I think we can cuss.
No, yeah, maybe, but we shouldn't. But anyway, but I'd be like, hell yeah, right? Let's do it. But then the luster of these players probably isn't as much either.
Correct.
From the Bucks GM.
Well, but then we become you know, and you know, I love Klay, but then we become the Klay version of the Warriors, where you got three guys that are making most of the money, and we're scrapping, you know, for who do we find for the bench? Who do we find? You know, those. I think we'll be good this year, but after this year, I think it's the team's good. They're not going to have as much. They're going to be in the second apron. They're not going to be able to offer mid-level exceptions. All of that's going to be gone. So, which means they're not going to be able to pick up talent.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, I just, as much as I'd love to have Giannis, I just, to me, I'm thinking leave well enough alone. We got a lot of flexibility right now. You know, we've got, you know, we got to see what's going on with Kuminga, because Kuminga's another conversation that I'm sure we'll have somewhere down the line. And maybe that's a good topic for our next show, is rookies that haven't been paid, you know, that are due for an extension. Should they or shouldn't they?
Yeah, right, right. Okay, let's do it. You know? We'll make that for next.
Yeah, but you know, with Kuminga, I'm not sure we should pay him what he wants, you know, right. And what are we going to do there, right? And so it's just such a balancing act. But right now I'm with you, Eddie. Right now they're, what, 6-1, 7-1?
7-1. They're 7-1 right now.
I'd leave well enough alone right now.
Yeah, you got to leave it alone, because then that's like, you know, you're playing – fire. You're playing with, you know, you're just playing with fire right now, potentially there, right? You're messing up something that's already working well right now, at least early part of the season. But, you know, they have a lot of time to figure this out. I mean, this week is going to tell you a lot about how the Warriors are going to be, because if they just beat the Boston Celtics and then they play Cleveland next, who is the best team in the league, and let's just say they take out Cleveland.
To me, you know, and I know we're Warriors heavy today, and I apologize for the non-Warriors fans, but to me, the real game that I want to see is the Thunder game. And the reason being is because they're insanely long. And the one thing the Warriors have had a boatload of trouble with
is insanely long teams.
Yeah. And if they just stay competitive, they don't even have to beat them. But if they're like hovering, you know, it's a 4-point game, whatever, with a minute to go, I'm going to be like, okay, they're for real.
Yeah,
like they're for real. If they win, forget it. I'm going to be doing cartwheels
Let's put it this way. This is the last thing we'll talk about before we're in the next segment. But they already have won the first three games. There's already winning road trip right now, right? Right now, they can just go get very, very greedy and try and go 5-0 on this road trip. So if they beat Cleveland, they're just going to be like, okay, they're not going to be all this pressure to play against OKC, right? They're just going to play and have fun, right? And then hopefully how the chips fall, as they may, right? But anyway, so all right, man. So let's go ahead. We kind of spent a lot of time on that one, but let's go ahead and go on to the next one, man. So the next thing we want to talk about are the injuries. So there's some key injuries that have already happened, and you know, we've already kind of already up at an hour. We probably want to spend maybe 5 minutes on this, and then 5 minutes on the next segment. But what I wanted to do here is I'm going to go ahead and call out some injuries that have happened, and what I want to do is I want to get you to rate from 1 to 10, 1 being not that significant to 10 being very significant and can alter their season, right? I want to go ahead and get your perspective on how you want to rate these injuries, right? So the first one I'm going to go ahead and give you: Boston Celtics, Jaylen Brown, Kristaps Porzingis. How would you rate their, from 1 to 10, significance to their season?
Do I have to rate them together as a unit?
Okay, let's say Jaylen Brown.
Okay, so Jaylen Brown being out long term is probably a 7 or 8. It's in the half.
Well, you know what's interesting? I heard a stat today that the Celtics in 29 games when they've had no Jaylen Brown, you know what their record is?
It's got to be under 500.
25-4.
Holy crap! So really good.
25-4, man.
Okay, without Jaylen Brown. Maybe I'm overvaluing him, but I still think that's a 7. So that's think that's a 7 or 8.
Okay, you still think it's 7 or 8. All right. What about Kristaps Porzingis?
I would rate him lower. I would rate, because, you know, this guy Cueto or Cueto today,
whatever his name is,
I was impressed by him. Cornette's,
he's not as athletic.
Yeah, he's good enough. So I would rate him probably a 4.
Okay.
In terms of his impact to the team.
Okay. But just think about that, man. The Warriors played the Celtics without those two guys. It goes to show you how deep the Celtics are, man.
That's exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's like, damn. Yep. If they had those two guys, whoo.
Well, yeah. I mean, I want to see it, right? I want to see it. Hopefully,
I do too. They play Boston one more time in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So we'll
hopefully when they come to Chase Center, we'll see it.
Yeah. Hopefully everybody's healthy, and then we can see it, right? All right. So the next one. Orlando Magic, Paolo Banchero.
That's like a 9, bro.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. It's a 9. He's not going to come back till the middle of December. That's a season-altering injury because it's essentially like losing Steph Curry, honestly, on the Warriors, right? Yep. Whoever else, Kevin Durant on the Phoenix Suns.
No, it is.
Anthony Davis on the Lakers, right? It's like that.
Yeah, right? Except he's ascending, right? Like he's
– Correct.
It's not only you lose him, but you lose valuable game experience, valuable – like there's just – it's a big, huge loss.
Right, yeah. Right. All right. Next guy. I have like 5 of these guys left. Okay. All right. Philadelphia 76ers, Joel Embiid. He hasn't played yet. He's going to play next week, all right? What would you rate him?
They got Drummond, right, with his backup?
Drummond is his backup. So 1 to 10, what would you put it, man?
I mean, he's out so often, Eddie.
That yeah, I know. That's
they know I'm, how to play without him.
But they got Paul George now, too, so.
Yeah, I'm going to put him at about a 6.
Okay, interesting, about a 6. I probably,
but I mean, you know, he's an MVP. Like, I feel bad saying that, but he's just out so often.
Yeah. He's. I don't think he's ever played a full season, man. But so they're kind of used to him not being in the lineup any time. So maybe it's not that big of a deal. It's a good call, man, because they've gotten used to him not being in the lineup as much. So it's not that big of a deal, right? So okay, I can see why you're ranking it as a 6. So I'll go
with Paul George can carry that team.
Okay, for right now, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. And then Kelly Oubre on the team. They have a Andre Drummond. I forgot some of the other guys. But anyway, all right. So, all right, next one. Clippers, Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, first of all, I don't expect them to play any significant amount of time. That's a 9. That team's a whole totally different team. I mean,
with him, if
if he's in there, they're a top 4 seed.
Yeah, yeah. And but the thing gonna, is, he's that not they don't know when he's coming back, man.
Yeah, no, dude, he's – I mean, this is kind of his MO. This is kind of what he was doing at San Antonio, you know, just missing, not knowing, not practicing with the team. I mean, talk about like wasted talent. That dude could have 2 or 3 more rings than he has.
Let me ask you something. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
I think so too. Yeah,
but he is, but kind of just, it's still a disappointing career.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that the injuries that he saw, you know, and remember when he first had the injuries when he was in San Antonio, and, you know, we were kind of wondering why is this guy not playing? And then, you know, he was getting rushed to play, and then there was a whole big fallout from him in San Antonio. Yep. And, you know, we kind of thought maybe he was losing interest in playing just in general because he was always hurt. Well, I guess, you know, maybe rushing him back was the wrong thing, you know, because, and that's why he wanted to leave. You know, because I, you know, now it seems to have affected his entire career, right? Because he's always had that same knee issue the whole time.
And, you know, and it makes me question, you know, the Clippers, because if I'm the Clippers, like, dude, like, I'm going to pay Paul George, and then when Kawhi comes up for I'm not going to pay him because he's not going to be available.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, and again, I think Kawhi is extremely talented. You know, I think the sky's the limit when he plays. He hardly plays.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So, okay. So you're giving that a what?
Yeah, that's a 9. I mean, that's
9. Okay.
They're a complete.
Because they're missing Paul George now. So he's a bigger contributor to the team. All right. So I got 4 more and then we'll go on to the next segment. All right. Okay. So I have Pacers. All right. They lost Isaiah Jackson and James Wiseman. They have Miles Turner as their center. And they lose these 2 backup centers and they don't have Jalen Smith anymore, who went now to the Chicago Bulls, right? Jalen Smith was their backup.
Wiseman was a reclamation project. So Wiseman, I mean, it's a 1 or a 2. Just he was showing signs, but, you know, historically, what are you missing? Just not much.
Right.
Jackson, I'd say, you know, that's a little more impactful. You know, it's still a backup role, but, you know, it's going to wear on Turner. So I'd say maybe like a 4 or a 5.
Okay, so collectively you give it like a 5, and then 5.
Yeah,
5
collectively with Wiseman being the
be a 6. Yeah, a 6. Okay. Yeah, I can see your point. Yeah, Isaiah Jackson for sure because he's been in the team for a little longer and knows the system. James Wiseman was playing really well, and he actually earned the backup starting center or the backup center position.
Correct.
So that was a big loss because I think he could have been a really good. It was a really good fit for him, man. Unfortunately, he got hurt again.
Somebody mentioned, and I never really thought about it that way, but they're like, dude, Wiseman is Greg Oden.
Yeah, dude. Damn.
And I was like, dude, that's a horrible thing to say, but you're not wrong.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. All right, man. So I got three more. I got, okay, the Grizzlies, Desmond Bane. He's got an oblique strain.
Yeah.
And I know
he's big. That's a big impact because it's the backcourt. He balances Ja Morant out.
He can shoot. He's the shooter.
Yeah. He opens the court for Morant. I'm going to say an eight. That's like an eight.
Okay. I would probably not put it at that high. I'd probably put it like around a six because they have other guys that can shoot there too, but he's their primary deep threat.
But he's also his backcourt running mate, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Marcus Smart is another one. Correct. But he's also hurt. He's the other guy that I'm going to put on this list for the Memphis Grizzlies. So you have Desmond Bane as an eight. What about Marcus Smart?
Marcus a little lower, probably a five or six. I mean, defensively, he's a stalwart, but, you know, he's a backup, right, at this point now. So I'd put him at a five or six, probably a six.
Okay. All right. I agree with you on that. I'll say about a five. All right. The last two, I have the Bucks, Chris Middleton, out indefinitely with ankle issues.
They got bigger problems than Chris Middleton, dude. I mean, I'm just going to tell you. I mean, I think Chris Middleton's a good player, but they got bigger problems.
So you're saying like a three?
I mean, yeah, four.
Okay. I mean, not that, other issues. He's not going to be the savior of the organization.
Yeah, well, I don't want to downplay his talent. He's talented, but, dude, they got bigger problems.
Yeah.
You know?
So let me ask you, do you think Doc Rivers makes it through the season? Okay. Yeah.
I mean, no, do I think depends on the circumstances that they let the other coaches go. I think that if they let the other coaches go because the players, quote unquote, Giannis was going, he's gotta go.
Right.
Then I think Doc Rivers is gonna make it to the end because at this point Giannis is gonna go, this isn't working. Like, what am I gonna get rid of? A third guy?
Right. You know?
But
right,
from an organizational level, if I was like the owner, I'd just let him go now.
Dang.
Yeah,
dang.
I would. I mean, he's just.
Yeah, he's snake bitten, man. After that championship out in Boston, dude.
He sold his soul for that one because it was all down after that, bro.
He did. And, you know, and he was regarded as a Hall of Fame coach, after that, right? And then, even after, he went to, the Clippers and then he went to the Bucks, it just hasn't been working out, man.
No, it hasn't.
All right, man. So the last team I'm going to cover, and then we go on to the next, the last segment, which is our contest standings. So we're going to go ahead. The three players I'm going to bring up here for the Pelicans, CJ McCollum.
That's big.
He's out for about 2 to 3 more weeks. He'll be coming back probably around probably at the end of this month or early part of December. So what would you put that at?
What's funny? I just want to comment real quick. When CJ and Dame Lillard were in Portland, I always kind of thought CJ was Robin and Dame was Batman. That's how I looked at him. And as their careers has progressed, I'm thinking maybe that was the other way around.
Well, you think CJ McCollum was more the Batman?
I'm thinking maybe.
Ooh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
I mean.
All right, it's an interesting opinion, man, but I don't know about
Lillard,
that.
Lillard has a flair for the dramatic.
Yeah.
But CJ is like the staple. I mean, he's just like New Orleans. When he plays with New Orleans, they're a different team. They're just a different team.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's tough because I'll tell you this right now. I think Damian Lillard, unfortunately, this Bucks experience may tarnish him a little bit, but prior to this, he was definitely Hall of Fame material, dude.
Well, but let me ask you this now, Eddie.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. If you swap CJ and Lillard right now, you put Lillard on New Orleans.
Yeah.
And you put CJ on Milwaukee. Would Milwaukee be a better team?
I don't think so.
I think they'd be a better team, and I think New Orleans would be worse.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But we're different opinions on that. All right. Okay.
When you see the recordings, people, holler at me. Call me crazy if you think I'm crazy. Right. But I'm thinking CJ is the calming force. So in terms of a number for that team, it's got to be like an eight or nine.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So let me ask you this. Okay. DeJounte Murray, he's not coming back till mid-December. Same team.
Yeah, so with DeJounte, I'm going to give him a lower number, not because I think he's less talented, but because he hasn't been there.
Integrated.
We don't know the impact, right? So he's, 5 or 6, let's call it a 6. Okay. But you know, I think that he could definitely become more valuable as the season progresses. Just, I can't make a call right now.
All right. And the last player, Trey Murphy. He's week to week right now.
Yeah, that's big. Trey Murphy's big. I don't know if I – yeah, I'll give him a 7. I'll put him right between CJ
DeJounte?
DeJounte, sorry.
All right.
Yeah, I'd give him a 7 right in between there.
All right. I mean, I'd probably be a little lower, but I would probably put him at a 5. But he's definitely an emerging player for sure, and he's a big reason why I think that Brandon Ingram was potentially being dealt because of this guy, because of the emergency.
I agree with you, right? And I think he's a better fit on the team.
Yeah, he's a good player, man. So, all right, man. So we're going out to our last segment, man. Now, we can probably bring up the standings here. This is going to be short. We're already at an hour and 10 minutes. We're going to be a little bit overtime this time. But you can go ahead and show how well I am doing, man. All right? So you can zoom in a little bit, brother.
Right? I don't want to zoom in.
All right. So this is our little contest that we've had. And we're going to be going over this every week, but we're not going to spend too much time on it. But we're just going to go ahead and show you that the teams that we have drafted. My team is on the top and Twan's is on the bottom.
No, you got the names wrong, Eddie. My name's on top. Yours is on bottom.
Right. So you can see I have Edie, Sar, Castle, Shed, and Cody Williams. You know, you probably double tap the E up there to kind of show Cody Williams, but it's okay. We don't have to do that right now. But anyway, so you can see, like, I'm keeping track of how they're performing, you know, on a daily basis. Not daily, but when they play games. But you can see, you know, after game one, I was up 69.6 to 33.2. And then game two, I was up 105.2 to 44.7. Yeah. And, dude, you haven't been making up any ground, bro, big time. Yeah, I think your best output was in game number 4, where you had 76 points. But check this out, man. Look at in game 6. Look at Zach Edey, 50.9 points in that game. And look at your total points, 50.2. Brutal, right? Yeah. So I mean, you have a long way to go. You have a lot of catching up. The good thing for you, though, you have a whole full season to go, man, right?
Well, did you see what my boy Reese Arshay did today?
He has been playing, dude.
6 threes. He had 33 points today. So
what's interesting is that your guys now have been getting some run lately, okay? Dalton Connect was the starter tonight. Okay, so he started for the Lakers. Reese Arshay has also been getting a lot more run lately. Filipowski have also been getting some run lately. Reed Shepard is still coming off the bench, but you know he's.
I need the Bulls to wake up and start Bouzelis. What's going on?
Well, yeah, and actually he's been playing a little bit more recently too. All right, but what you need badly for you to come back is for one of my guys to be hurt. Or two guys to be hurt, right? And seriously, dude. And then your guys, you know, don't get injured and they start playing regularly, right? That's the only way I think you're going to come back. But we got a long way to go, bro. All right.
You're right. We got a long way to go. We'll see.
All right. So let's go to the standings, right? So let's go ahead and see where we're at from the standing standpoint. All right. Let me
shrink this a little.
Yeah. So what we have here is. We have in the West in the light orange colors, and in the East we have them in the light blue color. Yep. Swans are on the far left for each of those colors, and then mine's on the right. You see the actual standings there on the left column for each of those seedings, and then you have the projected that we have. And then we have 5 points for if you get the seed right, 3 points if you're only one off, and then 2 if you're 2 seeds off, and then after that, no more points. So you can see – last week, there was a bigger discrepancy, man. All right. I was up significantly. I think I was up by like 15, 16 points. Now it's only, you know, 9 points right now. So you can see that you see the gap has been bridged a little bit on the West. There's only 4 points that separate us there. And there's only 5 points that separate us on the East, right? Yep. So, you know, You are coming. I mean, this one's going to fluctuate the most, man. But, you know, you can see that. You know, part of the reason why we wanted to do this is we want to show the audience our knowledge of hoops, right? And I think that we're going to be pretty close at the end. The only one that we're going to miss out big time is, you know, the Sixers, you know, both of us having the top 3 pick, right? Yeah. That's what we're going to hurt. And then, I think the Cavs, you know, we're going to miss some points. Right now it looks like I'm going to miss some points so far. You know, it looks like you probably are as well. But you know,
the Bucks are going to kill us
for sure. So the Bucks and the Sixers are where we're going to in a world of hurt for both of those teams. You know, the Magic, I think, you know, I had them at 8, and then you had them at where is it? Magic, you have them at number 6. So right now I'm looking pretty good on that one, man, just because of that injury to Banchero.
Yep. And in the West, the Clippers are helping me and hurting you.
Yeah. And then, you know, the Nuggets, man, you know, do you think that they recover? Shoot, I don't know. We shall see, man. I mean, I had them at number 5. You had them at number 4. I mean, we're only one off there, right? The Suns is where I think I'm, you know, I'm 2 away from you on that. The Suns have them at number 3. You have them at number 5. So we shall see, man. But interesting, man. This is interesting. Just wanted to kind of show the progress that we're going through on this, man. Let me see. I think I just went ahead and So I think that's pretty much it. What stands out to you on this? Anything?
No, nothing. I mean, obviously we'll see the Lakers. They kind of hit a wall. So as they drop, that would benefit, obviously, my projections because I had them at 11th and I had the Clippers at 12th. But – you know, outside of that, you know, we didn't talk about them too, but the Kings are playing a little worse than I thought they would as well.
Yeah, it's true. We didn't talk about them yet. Yeah.
You know, we didn't talk about them, but they're someone that I think will pick up, you know, but just out of the corner of my eye, they're not as good as I thought they were going to be or not as good a start as I thought.
Yeah, a lot of ball to be played, man. We got another, 74 more games to go, right? So we got a long way to go, man. So there's a lot of ground to make up here, man. But it's interesting to see the shifts on a week-to-week basis, you know, on how these teams are adjusting, right? So that pretty much sums up our show for the week. We went ahead and covered some of the surprises and disappointments from each of the conferences. We also talked about what's going to happen with Giannis Antetokounmpo because the Bucks are just horrible right now, and something's going to happen. Something drastic's going to happen. It could be, you know, front office firings. It could be Giannis getting traded. There's going to be something going on here soon if the Bucks don't shape up in the next two weeks.
I agree. And next week we're going to talk about the Emirates Cup or whatever.
We have the NBA Cup.
We'll talk about that. We've got a couple of reunions.
Some of the players that we think should be getting contracts, right?
We'll talk
about that. But the other thing we talked about this week is the key injuries, right? Tuan rated them, you know, for each of the key injuries and how much of an impact they are for each team. And then the last thing, we're going to cover the contest standings. It's just something fun, you know,
Now I want to see if I can shrink the gap, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to see if I can at least, you know, make myself respectable, but we'll see.
Specs. Yeah.
Give me my specs. Yeah. Well, my boy Reese Arshay and Filipowski, they're leading the brigade, dude.
Yeah, right.
As Kuzelis starts going on fire, you're going to be in trouble, dude. I'm telling you right now.
All right, man.
You're going to be in
trouble. Well, hey, there you have it, man. This is Eddie Aparicio, and this is Anthony Tuan Corral. This is Buzzer Beaters. We are brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com. You can find us on GremlingsMedia.com as well as YouTube, Facebook, X, Pandora, Apple, Spotify, anywhere you can find your outlets or anywhere you can find your podcast on any of these outlets. We're there. Just go ahead and look up the call out name of Gremlings Media and you can find us. But this is Buzzer Beaters. We're here every week. We're intended to be live this week because of the elections. We had to be recorded this week, but we're going to be live again next week. Probably the week after that, we're probably going to have to go record it again because unfortunately, Twan and I have a conflict that got in the way. But our intent is to be here live every week so we can go ahead and get your questions and your commentary. We love to hear from you. This is why we're doing this live. But anyway, this is Buzzer Beaters, and we are signing off.